Radio Reverb. Brighton Festivals now. All of the news, reviews, and what not to miss at Brighton Festival with Melissa Dennett
and Rebecca Sandals.
On Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, the only station on air with a dedicated Brighton Festival hour.
You listen to Radio Reverb 97.2 FM on DAB and online at radioreverb.com. I'm Alita Dennett. This is Tuesday's Brighton Festival special. We are here daily during the festival, 5 to 6pm. We repeat at 10pm and 9am the next day.
And I'm Rebecca Sandals. And between now and Friday, we'll be looking behind the scenes of the festival, meeting some of the performers, creators and the people who make it happen. Today, we're hearing about a multimedia dance piece which immerses the audience into mythology and age-old conflicts.
We find out about art vandalism on film.
We'll be looking forward to the final classical concerts of this year's Brighton Festival.
And learning about a work which melds Indian classical dance and physical theatre to explore uncomfortable histories.
All that and more in the next hour here on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM.
Now, although the festival may be gracefully sliding towards a close, there is still stacks of stuff happening. I've been looking at the programme, like, there's really exciting things going on. A couple of them are only one day only, so we're going to be looking at some of those on the programme today.
Yeah, it's pretty frustrating because to an extent it's juggling some really interesting pieces and you can't actually see, well, I can't see everything that I want to because of the timings of the clashes and things, but there's a lot there. There's a lot there to choose from.
Stacks there. Well, dance is centre stage this week. There are three performances, a couple of them for one night only, as we said, and Belgian theatre makers Berlin also returned to the Brighton Festival. I met up earlier with festival performance producer Philippa Barr to delve into some of this week's highlights.
We have three amazing dance shows which are happening across three different venues in the festival. The first one is called Trap Town. It's by a company called Ultima Vez, and the choreographer is Wim van der Kabus, who is an incredible choreographer, and he's been at the festival before. So you're in for a real treat because it's a large scale, very epic dance show. It's got film and a beautiful soundtrack. And it's about a kind of a conflict or a civil war between two different groups. And you'll see that being played out with the film and music and choreography. And I think it's going to look absolutely beautiful. And that's in the Dome Concert Hall. So it's a really large, exciting piece of work.
I'm glad you used that word epic, because I've just interviewed before I came to you one of the people involved in Trap Down. And that was exactly the word that I used. I mean, it looks like a full-on audiovisual assault on the senses, and the choreography looks incredible.
Yes, I think it's going to just be absolutely amazing, and you'll have dancers working at different heights and spaces, and I've just been with them this morning because Wim has been running a masterclass for local dancers in Brighton community, so it's really exciting that he's also working with local dancers and then coming tonight to present a show here, so we're all really thrilled that's happening.
Great, one night only, Trap Down tonight. Don't miss it. I'm rummaging through the programme now because there is so much stuff still happening. True Copy, I have to say, is one of the things that I'm really excited about, because Berlin, confusingly a Belgian company, have been to the Brighton Festival before. I've seen quite a few things they've done, and you're always in for a little bit of a surprise. You don't quite know what you're going to get. The story behind this is an art forger.
Yes, it's a true life story. It's about an art forger called Gert Jan Jensen, and he has forged over 1,600 works of art, and I've been told that actually there are still some out there in museums. I think there might even be four pieces still out there. And he was caught, though, and this is the story of his life and the art forgery. And I think what Berlin do are really interesting, because there's sort of a web of kind of deceit and lies and forgery, and you're never quite sure on the show what you're watching is real or not. And I think that will be unveiled as the show goes on. So, and I just think it's going to be a really fun and interesting show to go and see. And that's on at the Attenborough Centre for Creative Arts. I'm really excited about that. And he's going to be there in the show, and it'll just be a real surprise, but a real treat for audiences.
Well, the actual forger will be there.
Yes, he will, yeah. And we're doing a post-show talk on the first night as well. So he'll be there and being interviewed with the director. So I think that'll be really interesting to go and see.
Now, will he be the real forger, or will he be a fake forger? Who knows? Equally, before I came to have a chat with you, I did speak to Sita Patel, who has a one-woman performance, Not Today's Yesterday, taking place at the Theatre Royal, again, one night only on Thursday. This looks like a really interesting piece. I mean, it's a dance about history and colonialism. Mm,
it is. What's interesting about Sita, she blends sort of traditional South Asian dance called Bharatanatyam with contemporary dance and theatre and spoken word. And she's collaborated with an Australian choreographer, Lena Limasani, and they've been looking at different sort of histories and how those histories have been whitewashed through language and culture. And so I think because the choreographer is Australian and Sita herself is, you know, South Asian, I think they're looking at their own sort of histories and exploring that through dance and spoken word. And there's also kind of a performance installation on stage. I think it'll be a beautiful show. And what's really interesting is that not only is there a kind of a visual show with the choreography and the dance, but straight after the show, they have a discussion, a curated conversation on stage about all these questions that they're raising in the show. So you get to see the show, and then you get to sort of really delve into the questions and the issues that are at hand. And I think sometimes with dance, it's often quite conceptual, and you're never quite sure sometimes what you're seeing and how you're interpreting that. So then there's a chance for the audience to kind of really experience it through listening to a number of kind of experts talking about these issues of colonialism and whitewashing of histories.
That was one of the things I'm interested in, actually, because I really like contemporary dance, and I just happened to see a contemporary dance group back in the 80s at the Attenborough Centre, or the Gardner Arts as it was then, and it sold me on it. But I know that a lot of people have a difficulty with dance because they think, oh, it might be too difficult to understand. I don't get it. I don't understand the story. Very often there isn't a story.
No,
very often it just is what it is, and it's just for the pure physicality.
Yeah.
And I think also tutus have put people off the idea of dance.
Yeah. I think what's really lovely about this show is that there is a narrative and there is something you can really follow and pick up on. And then the curated conversation afterwards will delve into those further. So I think it's a very accessible work, and she's a fantastic performer, choreographer, and really one to watch. So that's Sita Patel. I'd be following her career.
So Thursday, again, one night only, that's at the Theatre Royal in Brighton. And finally, on Friday, this one really looked interesting in the programme. Wasn't entirely sure what to make of it, but it looks like a fascinating concept. It's called Boys by the Pappy Show.
The Pappy Show, what they're doing here is they're exploring and celebrating kind of diverse experiences of manhood. And they're centering them on 8 men of colour who are living in London and bringing those stories to the stage. So again, it's sort of it's a dance piece, but it's very, it crosses over sort of physical theatre. There's spoken word in it. Again, it's be a very, very accessible show. It'll be joyful and poignant and moving. So I think you'll have lots of different kind of emotional responses to the show. And I just think it's going to be a really lovely evening. It's going to be at the Old Market. So I'm really excited about that. And they have three shows on. And it's their first time at the festival too. So it's great to have them here.
Quite a lot of festival first timers this year.
Yeah.
There's a real buzz as well, because the way that Rocio Traore has put her mark on the festival with those themes of storytelling, migration, it's really fed into the whole programme.
Yes, and lots of sort of diversity, not just to do with sort of people of colour, but also diversity of kind of art form, gender. You know, I think it's really interesting sort of trying to put those on centre stage and to celebrate it, which is really important for us. And as a producer, I'm thrilled to have, you know, a portfolio of productions that does that.
That's festival performance producer Philippa Barr. She was talking about Traptown. That's on tonight, Tuesday at Brighton Dome at 7:30. Berlin are coming back with True Copy Thursday to Sunday at the Attenborough Centre. Not Today's Yesterday is on Thursday only at the Theatre Royal. And Boys, Saturday and Sunday at the Old Market in Hove. And we're going to be hearing more about Traptown and Not Today's Yesterday later on in the show. This is the Brighton Festival special show on Radio Reverb with Melita Dennett and Rebecca Sandals, leading you gently by the hand through the final week of the Brighton Festival. Lots and lots and lots of goodies still to be had.
Now, for the third year running, Brighton Festival is working with the community in East Brighton and in Hangleton for what's now basically a festival within a festival. And it's Our Place. It finds family theatre, family-friendly theatre, dance, music, loads of stuff. And we're delighted that our Place producer Sally Scott's joined us in the studio to just talk us through what happened last weekend at Manor Gym, how that was, but really look ahead to next weekend where it's Our Place Hangleton, isn't it?
Yes, hello, my name's Sally. I'm a producer with Brighton Festival. I've been working on our place, and last weekend in East Brighton was a really fantastic day. We were lucky to have fantastic weather. So we had a lot of activities both inside and outside, which was fantastic. Our place works within the communities themselves with a range of really exciting partners, and we work to programme work that's both from the community and also maybe bring in some artists that perhaps the community might not otherwise know about through the Brighton Festival. So things that we had in East Brighton, we had from the festival some performers, PW performers doing fantastic gymnastics. We had local people running street cricket taster sessions, Herringbone Arts, who do fantastic arts and crafts workshops. And then we also brought in a company called Theatre Temwon, who did a really lovely piece with large-scale puppets that really involves the audiences in a discussion about what home means to them. So it was a really great day. And yes, we're in Hangleton this coming Saturday, another packed programme. Some of the activities are the same, but also some are different.
I noticed one of the things that interested me, it seemed this year there was events leading up, more leading up to our place as well, in libraries to get community involved before the actual weekend rather than it all being focused on the one day.
Yes, that's right. And that's something that all of the communities talked about following last year that they wanted to make sure happened more this year. So we've had productions in libraries, small pop-up gigs, and we're working with some of the artists who are producing work in the main programme are doing pop-ups as part of this as well. So we've got The Pappy Show, who Philippa was just talking about. They're going into Hove Park School. Chinake, who are playing at the Dome, are also going into schools. So there's lots of activities that are happening around, and that's really to try and help with the sense of community and help push arts activities beyond just a one-day festival.
And I was talking to Ricky Perrin on the show last week, who's one of the team at Manor Gym, and obviously he's involved in both weekends. And he spoke passionately about how this has had an impact on the whole community. So it started in 2017 with Kate Tempest, who suggested that the Brighton Festival should go out into further flung parts of Brighton that don't really get a look in normally. Yes, and Ricky was just telling me, you know, right from the depths of his heart about the enormous impact this had on the community. And he said, I'm not interested in art. If you'd asked me before, I would never have been interested. And he said, and now he's really engaged with it. And the whole community is getting on board. And that's one of the phenomenal successes of our place.
Yeah, I mean, Ricky is fantastic. He's an amazing volunteer who does an awful lot for his community, and he's a brilliant member of the community. I think some of the things that they're doing now is taking more ownership over the programme and the things that are happening. And actually, I mean, in East Brighton, somebody organised an entire art trail completely off their own back.
Fantastic.
So let's look at this weekend. So from 10 o'clock, Hangleton Community Centre. Just give us a taste, not the whole, because there's stuff throughout the day.
Yeah, but it's Saturday if you do that.
Yeah, and is it just rock up, or is some of these ticketed in advance?
No, it's all just rock up. There are capacities for some of them, but what we're doing is just having sign-up sheets on the day so that any time of day you can come up and put your name down if you want to go away and come back later.
And that's great, because I think historically it used to be you had to sign up for some of them
as well. We had some tickets before, but because of feedback, people said actually it would be nicer if it's a bit more free flow. We do have the possibility, if anyone has access requirements and doesn't want to turn up early in order to, you know, put their name down for something at 4 o'clock, they can ring Hangleton Community Centre and they'll sort that out for them. There's all sorts of things going on. We've got two more brilliant Without Walls pieces, one acrobatics piece and one dance piece happening outside. We've got something for Hangleton which we didn't have in East Brighton, which is a more adult piece of theatre, so that's happening in the evening at 7 o'clock. So it's really going on all day, and we're really encouraging people to come, bring a picnic, stay around. They can go from one activity to the next, and you know, the entire thing is free.
Amazing.
That's such a great closer for the Brighton Festival as well, to be celebrating in the heart of the Hangleton community.
Absolutely lovely.
Yeah. Brilliant. Well, Sally Scott from our place, thank you so much for joining us on Radio Reverb.
Thank you.
It sounds like another brilliant day. What's the weather forecast looking like?
It's actually okay now, so I think we're good for a bit of cloud and a bit of sun.
It'll be lovely. Whatever. The sun will be out somehow in Hangleton this Saturday. Be there.
Fingers crossed.
So, Sally Scott, good luck with our place, and long may it run. I can see this running well into the next decade and beyond.
Yeah, we hope so.
Great initiative. Thanks for joining us on Radio Reverb. Cheers. This is Radio Reverb, 97.2 FM. This is the Brighton Festival dedicated show with Melita Dennett and Rebecca Sandals. And looking forward to Saturday. Saturday night at the Dome, one of the closing concerts of the festival, Naina Cherry. As I said, difficult to find a non-potty mouth track by her because her new album's a little bit sweary. Didn't manage to find a couple. This is Naina Cherry and Natural Skin Deep. Naina Cherry and Natural Skin Deep. Taken from her fifth solo album, Broken Politics. She's coming to the Dome on Saturday night. Tickets are still available to catch her. The last time I saw her, she was playing at the Albert. So that's a bit of a jump from the Albert to the Dome. I mean, the Dome obviously is her natural home. She was doing a couple of specials at the Albert. That was years ago. Absolutely fantastic live act, though. And her latest song is asking big questions about a world in flux. The Guardian has said, Cherry's music is simultaneously beautiful and abrasive, cheerful and deeply sad, much like its mate. I say she's a potty mouth. Naina Cherry at the Dome on Saturday evening at 8. There's a link to the potty mouth music from the album Broken Politics on the brightonfestival.org website. So you can sample her new album there.
That's Melita Dennett, brought to you in association with Potty Mouth Limited, who sponsor her to mention the term potty mouth at least three or four times a programme. Let's look at another piece that's coming up. Vahung. Now, this opens Friday at the Theatre Royal. It's ancient Taiwanese cultural traditions being brought up to date by one of the Pacific Islands' premier indigenous dance theatre companies. Looks fascinating.
I think it looks great, yeah.
Tima presents a richly patterned, open-hearted performance that shows how the Paiwan people... Excuse my Taiwanese pronunciation, please. Shows how the Paiwan people, not used to discussing their private feelings, use art forms to bring them to the surface. And the piece uses dynamic dancers showing how even a simple task such as weaving can lay bare your deepest emotions. So the piece Heart to Heart, Vahung Heart to Heart, promises to be something with universal resonance. So it's the small movements that are really telling a story. That sounds fascinating. And it's Theatre Royal, Friday and Saturday, 8 p.m. And there is also a Saturday matinee at 2 p.m. as well.
I think this is going to be one of those ones that kind of catches people from left field. Do you remember last year, Attractor, which was the Australian dance company with Indonesian live music, which was electronics and hard rock and almost like kind of Tuvan throat singing. And hardly anybody went to see it because you looked at it in the programme and you thought, I'm not sure about that.
I don't know what that is,
I don't know what it is. And then we, you know, look a little bit more into it and we had a chat with them on the programme and it's like, oh, my God, this is amazing. And went to see it. And to me, that was the highlight of last year's festival. And that was a complete left field show that kind of blew in from nowhere. And it was absolutely stunning. And everyone who went to see that, I think, was totally blown away.
I was pretty speechless for some time,
which is unusual for you.
Much so. But with this one, I think the thing is, I would say it could be amazing. I have no idea, but it's one of those that I wouldn't feel comfortable if I'd missed it.
Yeah.
And someone said it was great, and if it's not great, then it's going to be interesting anyway, because it's a kind of art form and that you don't get to see very often.
Quite.
By clearly a very accomplished company presenting it. So
I have to admit, I hold my hand up, I have never seen a Taiwanese dance group before. Have you?
No, I haven't. I saw sort of ethnic Thai dancing once in a hotel in North Thailand, and that was pretty dreadful. So
I think this might be a bit different.
So Taiwanese, Thai, I think they're different.
They are different.
So we'll see what happens.
So our mantra here really is take a chance, you know. Take a chance. And I think...
Can I sing ABBA again?
No,
then?
You can't, because I'll turn your microphone off. Right, your microphone's off now. I think the same thing goes for Trap Town, actually, which is on tonight. Trap Town is a dark multimedia piece. It takes you into a parallel universe of age-old conflict, mythologies and strange catastrophes. It's devised by groundbreaking Belgian choreographer and director Wim van de Kabus, and it's on for one night only at the Dome. Earlier, I popped down to Pavilion Gardens to meet choreographer Germain Harrier to find out what lies at Trap Town's heart of darkness.
Our losses are equal. But even if one side has had to suffer more than the other, so what? Death is on her way.
Traptown looks like an epic show. It's one night only. I'm looking forward to it tonight. It's got dance, it's got text, it's got film, it's got a set designed by an architect, a really powerful soundtrack. Set the scene for me for what we can expect tonight.
Well, it's a performance which combines different medias, no? It combines film with dance, also with theatre, it's a lot of text. So it's like a dialogue and a mix, a dialogue, a relation between all these different medias. Yeah, I think it's very interesting to see how these different languages, they speak to each other, and all together they are there to serve the story.
So from a production point of view, that's an incredibly complex mix.
But the company is used, Wim is very is used to mix languages. So he's in many shows, there were films, dance and theatre, they are always mixed. Most of the shows, there's a lot of text. But the idea to mix with film, it has been there since many years.
So Traptown explores ancient mythology, age-old conflict, and while it's set in a parallel universe, it sounds like there are messages for our own lives and our own world today.
Yes, of course. This is a strategy to approach mythology and to approach all the stories. Mythology, in this case, we kind of invent a mythology to speak about today, in fact. Because we speak about the Traptown, it speaks about the universal themes, universal matters, okay? And then instead of going to existing mythology or story, I mean, we decide to work with a writer to write the text, so we invent a myth somehow, to speak about today, of course.
It looks like a very intense experience for the performers.
Yeah, always very demanding physically and psychologically. But it gives you a lot. You give a lot, but also you get a lot in return as a performer, especially in the creation. After the tour, some shows are more heavy than others, they are more easy or more complicated. Every show has its particularity, but when you make the show in the creation process, it's always a very demanding and very exhausting moment. A lot of hours and a lot of effort and a lot of emotions. So not just physically, also psychologically. Especially, yes.
Traptown plays around with gender and it asks questions about race and otherness. Do you want the audience to go away and start discussing some of these questions it raises?
The show has to work as a kind of starting point. I think the show happens not on the stage, but happens in the bodies of the audience, in the hearts and the heads of the audience. So everybody will confront what they see, the music, the images, the text, the dance, the whatever they see, they will confront with their opinions, with their ideas, with their fears, with their dreams, with with a lot of things. So then everybody will kind of make his own version, and he has an opinion, no? And what is important is like it works as kind of provocation, that they make them think about today, about what the world we are living on. So. And I think that's, if this happens, I think we did what we wanted to do, in fact, so to make this provocation.
So one night only at the Brighton Festival. Welcome to Brighton. You're flying through. Why only one night?
Well, I don't know. We would love to play more days and, of course, in other places in England. But for the moment, as far as I know, this is the only date here in England. I hope maybe after this performance, the other possibilities will come up. I hope so. Will be lovely.
This is my time. All time is irredeemable. I am time.
That sounds like it's going to be really dark. That's Herman Harrier talking about Traptown. That's on tonight, Tuesday, at the Dome, 7:30. Tickets will be available on the door. We are going to go and see it, so we'll be talking about that tomorrow night. But hopefully you will go and see it as well, inspired by Herman there to find out more about how you take it into your body and your heart and start the conversation.
Come along and be provoked.
I mean, it sounds like it's such a great mix. I've been looking at the videos.
Yeah.
Videos of it and the filming and everything and the drama. It looks phenomenal.
Yeah, if you're hesitating, do take a look at the brightonfestival.org site, and there are some great videos that kind of capture a sense of what probably you'll get to see on the stage at the Dome tonight, Tuesday. And it was interesting because there was one interview with one of the dancers saying that working with the choreographer, Van der Kuybus, he sort of says things like, move your arm like that to show misery. And then, you know, she says you just somehow you do it. And it's amazing how he gets the sort of physical movements of dancers. So, yeah, the fact that it's the spoken word dance, an architect's been brought in to make the set.
Amazing. It's just fascinating. It looks great. Anyway, so One Night Only, The Dome, tonight, Traptown, 7:30. Tickets available on the door, or you can book them now online at brightonfestival.org.
Now, talking of tickets, warning, there is just limited availability of tickets for Slow Moving Clouds at the Old Market on Friday. Now, why would that be? Well, probably because Melita was saying they sounded fabulous when we played a track the other week by them. I think that's what started
that's why.
It. They're all going. But anyway, Slow Moving Clouds are a contemporary acoustic band based in Dublin, and they combine the roots in Nordic and Irish traditional music with minimalist and experimental influences to create a sound that we're told is unlike anything you've heard before. It is a little bit like Sigur Rós, a little bit don't know who else is it a little bit.
It sounds very Icelandic. It sounds very Orcadian, like from the Orkney Isles. So those kind of Nordic influences. Very ghostly. It's lovely.
And will there be presumably performing from their new album Starfall, which blends traditional contemporary melodies, evocative Nordic vocals, and layered string soundscapes. So if that grabs you, grab a ticket. Limited availability, as I said, for Friday, 8 p.m. at the Old Market. Shall we hear a bit just to really get a sense of it?
Let's do that. Absolutely gorgeous. That is Slow Moving Clouds playing Friday at the Old Market. Tickets nearly gone for that one. So if you want to go and see that, then do snap the tickets up, because I think it's going to be a gorgeous, gorgeous night. This is Radio Reverb, 97.2 FM. It's the Brighton Festival dedicated show here, looking forward and backwards, actually, to some of the things that have happened during the course of this year's festival. It's been absolutely jam-packed. Really pleased to say that we're joined by Nee Aquith Parks, who's been in charge of the literature strand of the festival. Welcome to Radio Reverb.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
It's been a really strong programme of literature. A lot of it as well influenced by Rocio Traore and her themes, obviously, of storytelling,
of course,
migration.
Yeah, I mean, the themes were very strong and offered a lot of options. And then after that, it's just about creating conversations, which I love. And that's what I've tried to do. And I'm pretty glad. It's my first year doing it.
Oh,
so,
wow.
So it's been great working with the team for the first time. And I've loved every moment. I've had one disappointment, which was the Writers at Risk Gallery.
So the Writers at Risk Gallery was scheduled at the start of the festival to run through the festival.
Yes.
And it was going to be an exhibition of, obviously, as it says, Writers at Risk.
Yes.
And I popped down when the festival opened, and
yes,
there was somebody sitting outside the founders' room where it was supposed to be. I said, where's the Writers at Risk gone? And I said,
Yeah, it looks like the risk was very high.
What happened? That's what I thought.
We did have some jokes around that.
What happened?
So essentially, it's one of those things. It's, you know, you have these grand ideas. I've always been conscious of the fact that there are writers who can't make it to festivals because they're either imprisoned, house arrest, they're under threat, they can move, but if they're seen, something might happen to them. And so I thought we should have something to showcase those writers, so people are aware that writing is not one of these easy games that you just kind of get into, because sometimes in certain countries there are consequences. The unfortunate thing was, by the time I joined the program, we didn't have a budget for it, so I had to rely to some degree on the publishers to provide the boards which had the writers' pictures and the covers of their books. And most of the publishers were, we'll do that, we'll send it off. But of course, you know, every publicist is handling tens of writers.
Yeah.
So the day comes and I'm like, where are my boards? And and so we only had them from Academic Press in the US and Granter in the UK. So we had four measly boards, and it just could not carry the name exhibition very well.
Yeah. So if you're looking for that, and you saw it in the programme, you were looking for it. That's the explanation.
Yes,
but we'll be back
next year with it.
Great.
Certainly.
So how do you work on pairing the different authors? Because when you look at it, it's in conversation with. I mean, how does that work? Is it the people that come along themselves that say, can I be talking to, or do you suggest people?
Well, I mean, I start with themes. So, for instance, when I look at something like Candice Carter-Williams and Zawi Ashton, which we had last week in conversation, the theme was shapeshifters. And so we were talking about one of Rocky's themes was about stories being told from different perspectives. And I thought it was important to sort of highlight the fact that there are several people in this country, especially minorities, who have to inhabit different roles. And they inhabit a different role at home, a different role at school, a different role at work. And they're always going through these. I mean, everybody does it to some degree. It's just that it's extreme for minorities. So I sort of looked at the books that had themes similar to that. And Candice Carter-Williams' hero or heroine in her book, Queenie, is a shapeshifter. She's completely different at home, completely different with her grandparents, completely different with each of her friends. And with Zawi, she's an actress, and she's written this sort of fictionalized nonfiction book about being an actress since the age of six, where, you know, you have to kind of figure out what is the mental stress of having to inhabit these characters all the time. And so that felt like, even though they were completely different works on one level, they're very similar on another level. So I thought that would be a great conversation. So that's really where it tends to come from. It comes from, you know, the theme first, and then which books would fit in.
So we're looking forward to the end of the festival. Well, I say we're looking forward to the end of the festival. We're not looking forward to it. We are looking towards the end.
We're always
sad when it finishes. It's a really action-packed week. There is loads of stuff happening. Can you take us forward to what's happening over this, some of your highlights?
Yes, certainly. I mean, for books and talks, literature, we had most of our stuff at the top. Mm-hmm. So actually, we're quite light at the end. So I can actually talk about all of them.
Please do.
So we have Luke Wright coming on Thursday. He's doing his new one-man show called Poet Laureate. And again, to fit in with the theme of dreams, every poet's dream in the UK is to be the Poet Laureate and get some booze from the Queen.
Bad luck, Luke. You didn't get it this time around. Know, so 10 years' time, maybe.
This is his bid. And it's a wonderful one-man show. Then we have Peter Sellers in conversation with Rocky Traore. So that's, you know, the kind of festival guest director in conversation with one of her mentors, collaborators. We have Margaret Busby with New Daughters of Africa, which is a brand new anthology showcasing writers of African descent around the world. There was one about 20 years ago. I want to say 20 years ago, but I don't want to say I'm that old. Anyway. which showcase writers from kind of antiquity to the present day at that time. Now it's more focused on new writers and emerging writers. We have Gautam Malkani and Michael Donkor, and they're in conversation with Acts of Care, where we're looking at people, the lives of people in fiction who have had to give care to people. So Gautam Malkani's hero has his mother to look after, and he has to pretend things are okay when he's at school and stuff like that. And in Michael Donker's Hold, there's house help that's been brought in from another country, and she finds herself having to be emotional support for the child in the family. So these are like really, and then at the end we have Safe. Derek Owusu has compiled this anthology of black men talking about mental health, sexuality, etc., which I think actually goes really well with one of the programs in the I think dance program, Papi Show.
Yeah, yes.
I think the two of them go great together. Yeah. And you can go for the matinee for Papi Show and then go to Safe later.
And this is his quiet week, Melita.
Yeah,
this is my quiet week. It is.
But there have been some really big themes in this year's festival. Some themes that run very deep.
Yes.
And obviously the literature programme is no exception. You've taken those themes on board.
Absolutely. And then there were some things that were pure serendipity. We wanted to do a tribute to Maya Angelou at the beginning of our sort of programme. So we did Cage Birds Do, which again is to do with dreams and you know, overcoming. But her famous poem Still I Rise is inspired something from the dance program. We've had elements from Porgy and Bess in the classical music, because Maya Angelou played in Porgy and Bess before she became a famous writer. So I mean, there was a serendipity about it that was just wonderful, and these are the things that I love: conversations, things that just happen and then pop. Yeah. Everyone's having a laugh.
Well, it was one thing I said to Melita previously during this festival is, more than any other festival, I've noticed the connections that are there. Some of them are, you know, there's obvious, there's a discussion on migration, there's discussion on feeling the outsider, as well. But others seem to be pulling together different artists and different people into collaborations. And I mean, it was at Jamal's piece at Seances.
Seances, yeah.
And I'm trying to remember who the author was.
Susan Butler.
Thank
Susan
you very
Butler,
much.
Susan Butler, yes, yeah. Who was on my program,
yeah,
as well.
And they connected,
yes,
through that. So these connections that are happening across the festival, it's fascinating.
Yes. Yeah, and we hope there'll be more of that. As I said, I'm brand new here, but it's a wonderful team and I love working with everybody at the festival and Dome. So I'm really looking forward to next year already.
Well,
so let's all be excited.
Get this week out of the way first, eh?
Yeah.
So, Nia Aquith Parts, congratulations on your first year programming
thank
the Brighton
you.
Festival
thank
Literature
you for
Programme.
Having me.
It's a big gin and tonic for you, I'm sure, when it finishes.
Absolutely. I think I'm going to get my voice back first, but I can use that as an excuse for rum. So.
Yes, go for it. Nia Aquith Parts and the Brighton Festival Literature Programme. All those events taking place, obviously, you can find them in the Brighton Festival Programme. Pick up a programme or go to the Brighton Festival website, brightonfestival.org. Thank you very much for joining us on Radio Reverb. We'll see you again next year.
Thank you.
You're listening
here.
Good. We will have you back. You're listening to the Brighton Festival Show on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, DAB, and online with myself, Rebecca Sandals, and Melita Dennett.
Not Today's Yesterday is an international collaboration between UK award-winning Bharatanatyam Indian classical dance artist Sita Patel and Australian choreographer Lina Limasani. It's a solo show which looks at whitewashing history and giving a voice back to lost histories and communities. It's on for one night only, Thursday. It's at the Theatre Royal, and I spoke earlier to dancer Sita Patel to find out more about the themes in the piece.
There were faraway folk, neither perfect nor poor. In their land, the rising sun shone down golden and warm.
My name is Sita Patel. My show is called Not Today's Yesterday, and it's a dance and theatre piece. I'm a dancer and a choreographer, and I've worked with amazing director and choreographer Lina Limasani from Australia.
You quote George Orwell, "Who controls the past controls the future. Who controls the present controls the past." This quote seems to be the key to Not Today's Yesterday, the whitewashing of uncomfortable or inconvenient histories.
Yeah, that's right. And I felt that the quote really epitomises the heart of the work, because we're looking at how history is basically whitewashed by people in power who want to sort of manipulate the population, manipulate masses of people for their own agenda, really. So, for example, with Make Britain Great Again, the right-wing ideologies very much look at the past with this sort of rose-tinted glasses rather than looking at some of the realities of our real past.
So how was the work developed from idea to what we see now on stage?
It's been a long, long development. We've been working for about 3 years until the piece was finally finished. And it started off really as me wanting to work with Lina to tell a story. I was quite interested in the fact that my background of Bharatanatyam, of South Indian classical dance, and it has a really interesting social and political history, which is very much sort of entwined with the British coming into India and then the art form being driven underground during the sort of partition time and stuff. But it's never really taught that way. It's always taught sort of in this mythologized, exotic way. And I guess the whitewashing of my own dance background was the impetus for me to look at what else was whitewashed. And then I approached Lina with the idea, because I know she's really great at doing visual storytelling with dance and props and visuals. So yeah, that's where it all started.
As a solo performer, that puts a lot of pressure on you. All eyes are on you.
Yes, it certainly does. The interesting thing is that Bharatanatyam, the Indian classical dance form I do, is traditionally a solo art form, and it's quite long form. So it's like if you were to listen to a piano recital by a musician playing Mozart or something. It's the same with Bharatanatyam. You often see longer recitals of performance by solo artists. And so I have the experience through my Indian classical background of holding the stage for a longer period of time. But it is unusual to do that in the sort of contemporary dance world. Mm. And so it's been an interesting challenge, but I really loved trying to hold on to that story and connect the audience with that story and take them on that journey.
What kind of questions do you want the audience to take away with them? Because you're throwing some challenges out here to the audience to confront some potentially uncomfortable truths.
I guess it's just about our own awareness of what's going on rather than just sort of turning a blind eye? And also, what role can we play to maybe make a shift? Because everyone who would really come to a theatre to watch a piece by somebody like me is likely to identify a sort of liberal, left of centre, that kind of audience. And so they often might feel that they're not participant in some of these issues. However, I think we're all sort of, you know, in some way responsible for how we progress with some of this. And I guess it would be nice for people to acknowledge how might they speak about certain things from there, how might they be more aware that these things are very relevant. It's not just something from the past that many groups are trying to just dredge up the past, but it is very much still a relevant problem with how country or governments treat people. So yes, it's a really visceral, visual, emotive piece. And I hope the audience kind of can take that face value in many ways, because it's to open up something emotionally rather than intellectually initially. And then we pick through the themes and the ideas with our wonderful guest speakers to, you know, somehow open up some of the ideas in their kind of fields related to the work.
In this year, when Malian musician Rokia Traore is the guest artistic director of the Brighton Festival, we've seen a lot of these themes of storytelling and history coming through. What does it mean to you to be playing at the Brighton Festival this particular year?
I mean, I am just so thrilled to have been invited, because, you know, it's great when a festival is trying to push some boundaries, having, you know, much more diversity in its programming. And it's just really exciting to be able to be a part of a festival that's challenging perceptions and challenging just the status quo of a lot of sort of arts going on, where, you know, it's very much about opening other people's stories out, making people's voices heard that may not be necessarily shown on such a high profile platform as the Brighton Festival. You know, that's really exciting for me as an artist, for sure.
That was Sita Patel talking to Melita about Not Today's Yesterday, on for one night only, this Thursday at the Theatre Royal. Laura, you're listening to the Brighton Festival Show on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM.
For more listings, go to brightonfestival.org. Listen on demand to exclusive reviews and previews at radioreverb.com. Radio Reverb. The sound of your city.
So Brighton Festival may be in its last week, but there are still plenty of events to enjoy. This week sees two major classical concerts, as I found out when I met classical programmer Jill Kay. Now, at the end of the festival, there are always some bangers, and this year is no exception.
That's true. So in the last few days, we've got two really interesting concerts. So Chinike, which have been to us before, it's Europe's only BME, or Black Minority Ethnic Orchestra. They're all pretty young. They play with a huge amount of enthusiasm and passion. Really good players, really good young players picked from over Europe, all over Europe, come together to do half a dozen concerts, and then they all go back to doing what they're doing the rest of the year. So this year we've invited them into the concert hall. They're working with Wayne Marshall conducting, who they've worked with before. Pianist Stuart Goodyear is going to be the soloist in Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue, which is just, I mean, if people have not heard that piece before, this is an absolute cracker. Really jazzy, exciting. You recognise the themes when you hear it. That cast and that orchestra with that sort of jazzy American feel is just going to be an absolute ball. And then the closing concert, it's slightly more serious. We were thinking quite hard about what we could put in the classical programme involving our chorus that would suit the rockier theme. And we settled on Tippett, A Child of Our Time. It's quite a difficult piece. I can't say it's easy. It's an hour long. But Tippett was a pacifist in the Second World War. And the story of a young emigre, Jewish emigre, who assassinated a Nazi, which inspired Kristallnacht, this terrible pogrom in Germany. So his view was that he would write a piece that was for all oppressed nations. All oppressed people. So in this piece, he's included some Afro-American spirituals. You'll know them all. They're absolutely classics. beautifully sung. So we've got big orchestra, we've got the all of Brighton Festival chorus. And the real challenge for me this year, and I have to say I'm very pleased how it's ended up, was to find a complete BME cast of soloists.
Wow.
In classical world, this is still quite unusual.
Yeah.
The first half of that concert is Beethoven's triple concerto, so the concerto for piano, violin and cello, and the trio Isimses, who are going to be the soloists in the first half, were also in our lunchtime series a few years ago. So it's a really lovely thought that, you know, some years ago there are these young performers and they're actually coming back to perform in our closing concert with the Philharmonia Orchestra.
Classical programmer Jill Kay talking there about Chinnike on Thursday at the Dome, and A Child of Our Time by Michael Tippett, and that's Sunday at the Dome, bringing the 2019 festival to a close.
Oh, we're always sad when it finishes.
I know, what a week though. I mean,
what a week.
Just, there's clashes all over the place, things that are interesting. It's great. There's so much going on.
Yeah, getting very excited for Trap Town tonight. Going to head down to that. So hope to see some of you there. Give us a wave. This is Brighton Festival special programme with Melita Dennett and Rebecca Sandals on Radio Reverb every day during the Brighton Festival, and you can find podcasts floating through the ether of the shows and individual interviews within that. Yesterday on the programme, Slipstream's Mark Johnson came and he was raving about Dream Monday, which took place on Saturday night. That was with Rokia Traore and other Malian musicians, and one of the songs he was particularly raving about was a version of Bob Marley's Zimbabwe. This is not Dream Monday and Rokia Traore, but this is the original. This is Bob Marley in the Wailers and Zimbabwe. That's Bob Marley and the Wailers and Zimbabwe. And Mark Johnson was raving about Rokia Traore and Co's version of that at Dream Monday on Saturday night. There's another Dream Monday tonight, which is going to be a much more spoken word version of that. So we're wrapping up the programme now. And as ever, this year's Brighton Festival includes a film series as part of What's On. Tim Brown from the Duke of York's and Cine City came to Radio Reverb to tell us more about End of Fear. That's a documentary on Thursday at the Duke's at Commedia. It's all about a crime of art vandalism. This is the true story of a vandalism of an artwork in 1986. Sounds like an unlikely premise for a film.
Yes, and it's sort of that old adage that truth is stranger than fiction. I mean, you couldn't really make it up. It's probably the most famous crime against art ever committed in 1986. An art vandal attacked a Barnett Newman painting, Who's Afraid of Red, Yellow and Blue 3, slashed it to pieces with a Stanley knife. And then that could have been the end of the story, but the painting was sent off to an American conservator to be restored and, you know, an attempt to get it back to its former glory. And that's when the story starts to get very odd, because the restorer did restore it, but not in a way that anyone was expecting. And arguably, it's been described as really a double murder. The painting was killed the first
time. Well, it just popped up to B&Q, bought a tin of the nearest looking colour paint and slapped it on.
That's more or less it. So it's a wonderful story, and there's lovely archive footage of the time. And then the director, Barbara Visser, who's an artist herself, she has commissioned a young female Dutch artist to make a recreation of the painting. So there's all these different things going on. There's the story about the original vandalism. There's the other story about the second act of murder on it. And there's a really talented Dutch female artist who's recreating the painting. And all these things are weaved in together. So it's an oddity, but it's compelling. And, you know, there's an aspect of thriller about it. And it also just beggars belief. I mean, 1986... isn't, I'm sure my age, but it doesn't seem that long ago. So the idea that a painting could just be sent off to a conservator without the proper checks and balances being made is, just beggars belief, really. It's a lovely documentary, and again, it's one we brought it over from a contact we have in the Netherlands, so there's no prospect of ever being able to see it in a cinema apart from this one-off screening in part of Brighton Festival.
There you go. Another one-off then. Tim Brown from the Duke of York's and Cine City talking about the End of Fear film. That is on Thursday. That's 9 p.m. at Duke's at Commedia.
You've been listening to the Brighton Festival special show with Melita Dennett and Rebecca Sandals here on Radio Reverb, 97.2 FM, DAB and online, daily 5 to 6pm during the festival, repeated 10pm and 9am the next day.
Thank you very much to today's guests, Sally Scott, Nee Aquith Parks, Sita Patel, Philippa Barr, Jill Kay, Khairman Khareye, Tim Brown, and I'm Melita Dennett. Thanks for listening.
And I'm Rebecca Sandals, and we'll both be back at the same time tomorrow. Have a good evening.
Radio Reverb. Brighton Festivals Now. All of the news, reviews, and what not to miss at Brighton Festival with Melita Dennett and Rebecca Sandals on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, the only station on air with a dedicated Brighton Festival Hour.